Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
Okay, back again. Look, unfortunately, I hit the stop, so I have to undo it again. And this is the danger. I've got these huge gigabytes of files. After days, or really 2 days of downloading. Now, there's these problems that as I go, things like kicking out the power of the computer and the computer, not shutting down properly. Things I have built my own software to handle with. So I've got fairly rugged software, which detects this and re-comes in. I essentially program basically a swarm of applications, same application running on some on different computers, and then but with one eye out to the lead application, and when one computer stops, the jams for some reason, the application which is waiting goes on and just takes the information on. And so, look, there was one case at school where I have basically a upload service which takes up stuff and does something, and I was showing it to the kids, and back home, someone pulled out the computer to do some vacuuming, and said, sorry. And then people said, look, it's back on, and it began to report that it was getting back on. But unfortunately, I haven't quite done this, and so I'm out here, and I've got possibly, I haven't uploaded a podcast for few days, and it might be not until tomorrow that I can start uploading again. But here you've got this massive thing, and I've got to just gradually go through and break the back of this. And so I suppose what you want to do is upload it such that you've got, first off, it's fidelity and some insanely large files, and then start doing compression. And so for it's the obvious thing to do if someone's got a the worst case scenario, a video of a document. That's the extreme thing. You break that down into images, and then if they have other documents where they've just scanned it, you then convert that by OCR into text. And so what used to be megabytes is now only a few kilobytes of searchable text. And that's the entire idea, is to make it all searchable as we go across. I'm just going to have to organize this a bit more. Yeah, okay. To make it a bit more searchable. And then you can batch compress images, JPEG images, so it's mass convert. And basically you point it at a file, and it will create a file within it, the compressed file, and these files are about 10% the size, and I suppose optimized for an internet display as opposed to something else. So that's essentially, it's internet storage, so it's got the role of storage, and then the compressed display. And so what I have to do in that case is the compression is on your side, so the compression happens in your computer, and then you put the compressed files. I shudder to think of this across now into a compressed file area. Now, essentially, one doesn't want to actually ever change the file name. Once you start changing the file name, the file name really has to be as it goes, and then there's this thing called the metadata of a file, and usually the metadata of a file, what you can do, I sort of discovered this, is that if you go onto your file in your computer, a picture file, you right click on that, then click on properties, and then click on details, and details will give you a scan through the metadata, and you can just get on this and change the metadata, and this is sort of this window is 10, this is sort of like the teeth breaking value of the metadata. Now the metadata basically is with your file, is this whole group of a table of information at the front to define what goes where. It's sort of like the header information. So if you're, I suppose, into the internet, you're used to IP packets with a header, or the header and the actual data packet behind it, this is fairly much a similar thing. And indeed, few people know about this metadata, and basically, it's a rather strange that. I don't know why I knew about it, but it's sort of one of the natural things as a teacher you do, is you get to know about metadata. In the digital age, you know about metadata, and someone gives you an assignment, and you don't tell them about the assignment, you just go in and you just check the photographs they've got is not from, I don't know, from Getty Images or anything like that, or if this, if they've got showing you a picture of their experiment over time, you can just check the time. Very simple things, the times of the information. So if they grab a picture from their file and dump it in a Word document and then give you the Word document, you can actually click on that picture. You can just. It's a little bit harder to do it in a Word document. You would save it and you take it across. Now, of course, what happened at me is that I was at work. These people were all manufacturing these things, and I couldn't work out what was going on. And so I did the natural thing: is open up the documents, check the metadata, and I said, "Oh, this is a document from here, but this person has just edited it just before I've gone in the room. So, what's going on here?" So I asked these fairly, you don't suspect these things are going on. And of course, the rest is history. I'm kicked out. And it's sort of very hard to judge what's going on, because indeed I did have a heart condition and all this other thing. But there's also this other story underneath it. And so it's rather poetic, so to speak, that I'm now on the metadata, knowledge of metadata got me out of trouble. Oh, sorry, got me into trouble. Will possibly get these people out of trouble. So, what we have now is free text retrieval. And so people, in free text retrieval, they know, they don't search for potato. They might search for potato recipes or potato famine. They'll search for a couple of words which it gives context. Now, the real problem is that once you put something in a database, it's locked inside that database. But whereas if you tag it, it just sits there and it can free text retrieve the tags. Now, your tag editor. Now, you can get an online tag editor. And again, I've gone through a couple of them. And so what's the horrible thing is that as my computer is thrashed, it sort of comes back and loses the Windows. I don't know how I do it, but it loses the Windows aspect of it, and I lose, you know, I've got 100 things open up in Chrome, I close them up, and go, oh. So there's this text editor, metadata editor. Now, the metadata editor, the online metadata editors are beautiful, because it's got the camera-centered, the user-centered ones, and then there's the newspaper ones. So they've got a whole system of newspaper where they say what's the title of the thing, what's the byline of it, and what's the article. You can write a news article on every single one, and also include URLs. No, it's not a hyperlink. You can just put the entire URL address, so you can actually include the audio file. So you can actually say, create a midden of where these things go. So you can create that and think about it. And I've forgotten what it's IS something TD, International News. News metadata. That's for every file. Now, the issue there is that you then want it to actually your lab view to actually go and start to write up your web pages for it. So what this means is that you've got this group of files, and it means that people can you really need everyone, you know, the people helping you to have A, an FTP program, and B, the online editor, and then the old people can systematically identify people in these photographs and identify where they are, geolocation. So it's also got geolocation and all this type of stuff. Now, the majority of people don't know that if I've got a really fantastic camera and I take a photograph and I post it on Facebook, someone can get that photograph, tell them all about the magic of camera they had, possibly whose camera it was, and the geolocation of it. And so you can automatically start getting time, someone is in a time and place. So very few people understand that about this metadata and how it's operating. And so these old guys, you know, be trained on it. But, you know, how do you do all of this? You've got to, you know, it's just, I don't know. Okay, so someone's just getting, having a bit of a chat in the local bottle-o shop to get across. So you've got all this metadata which you come across, so the old guys can put it. And then you've got this bit of a hard sell, and that's where you want to start looking at this metadata, and where you just point a whole heap of pictures on it. You don't want, you know, the last thing you want is that, so once it's got metadata, you can do manual creation of assets, or you can actually do a whole heap of other things. Like you can get LabVIEW to go through all the files, pick them up all together and write a web page which creates a slideshow with so-and-so in it, or people in it, or dogs in it, or you know, like you can get the entire slideshow, or thing is that you can map two people together, a person at a time, and put it across, and you get LabVIEW to just churn through it. The issue is getting a person to do it is just I don't know, insane thing to do. So I've already picked up a nice jQuery slideshow, and the issue with it, it does just enough to make it aesthetic. So your standard slideshow where it's picture, nothing happens, go on to the next picture. This was slightly bit different. It the transitions, well, they're not really random, or they sort of can be randomized, there's a sort of it's a timeline as it goes across, and it drifts. You know, if your pictures, they show a file which drifts, and people can look at it, and then some basic information comes up on the side for it. Some sort of basic, sort of like heavy information. It's much more alluring to see. Now, what you want to do with LabVIEW is be able to take out your file and do it. So you take out your file and put in some comments on it. So in your LabVIEW, so in your description, you have you then sort of meta tag or break it up inside your description. Goes across it is rather difficult. I think what you really have to do is therefore get LabVIEW to actually start to decrypt the metadata, and it's not all that, like, it's not entirely impossible for LabVIEW, or my version of LabVIEW, to do, because you've got your JavaScript. Yeah, you've got your JavaScript to do it, and you can basically get the JavaScript to go through a file and do a PHP file, which is so you can have a PHP file on your own computer, and I think Perl, PHP means Perl. I've just got to really, really think about how this is done. But you can essentially sort of upload a file, and the JavaScript. Yeah, really. Don't really think about it. It's the JavaScript puts out the output. It's just your standard JavaScript HTML on your side does not create new files unless you have a really hard way to think of it. But essentially, you want the old biddies saying there's Jim, so and so here, and this is part of this incident here. And so let's say there's also, I can identify in this a train, a such through history, and so this is a railway history, and I don't know, just to create a service. So the essential thing is that once you put it up there, it's sort of like creating a bank that your local news agencies can go with it. So, essentially, a lot of people think a picture file contains just pictures, but at the front of it, it's got all sorts of things: the make of camera, the time of day, your location, the resolution, what settings did you use on your camera, and pictures like that, the artist's copyright, sort of the basic things everyone's used to, so the metadata, but providing the cover for your MP3. The problem is that with the MP3, where you think it's serial, serial in time, you think, well, I can basically stick these two documents together. And the issue is very much that if you've got a metadata writing, you've got sort of like covers. It's sort of like sticking several exercise books together with the exercise covers on the outside to get it across. So there's a general gist here of creating sort of several tasks to do, but the people actually looking at the actual software and essentially what that would mean. Now, at the moment, what we really need to do is get so the moment you use something up an online thing, they're stored online. You need an online file transfer from the internet to your computer. You need that FTP. Then you need to actually edit it and improve it and bring it forward. Now, what it sort of basically means is that someone can actually say collect a series of photographs and say, look, that relates to buildings or stuff like that, and then it can automatically produce a timeline. This is down the track. The immediate thing to do is to produce it. I suppose the other thing is that you're doing this, and you've also always got to say, well, I can do all this, but who's going to look at it? And this is why a lot of the work is if you don't have the answer, you've got to sort of migrate it. So at the moment, it's a huge dog's breakfast of just huge ungainly files. So look, it's not only megabytes, it's 1,000 million times more data is used to say photograph to film a series of things to get it, makes sense, but to film it and put it together, that can come down. Then the other thing is that the browsing and access to it. Now, as long as you don't keep the file name, it means that you have a file name and location. It can be just fairly loose, and so long as you've got the file name, you can have the big file there, and you don't have to go, oh well, if I want the big file, I have to go phone up so-and-so, get his hard disk. The big file's up there. So if you say, I've got a file XYZ, the file XYZ will appear again in the condensed thing. And in the condensed one, the internet-ready one, that's the one that's going to be pushed across, and on that you can attach the metadata to the actual artifact, and so attached to that can be not directly audio, but as long as you have sort of a stable internet storage space of descriptions and stuff like that, it goes with it. It can't possibly go the other way, But from that, you can just basically get someone and have it have the metadata up, and then what happens is, especially if someone can look at a picture, and you can have several audio files at that picture, where people look at it and describe what's going on, and you can, I suppose, have the text files which goes with it, and stuff like that, and therefore, now, what's written at the moment, you know, essentially, if you've got a file, you can just pull down that file, and all it is your standard JavaScript, a Java library, a Java add-on that you put on, your standard, you put your Java code in it, and people will press on it, it will run and actually extract the story, the written story of it, because it will be stored with the file. So that's a way to go. So I'll just keep on pushing along, trying to get it. And I suppose this is the sort of the weird thing that in this world where you've got to be slick, confident, have a big track record. When you knocked off your horse, you're pushed aside and stuff like that. And it's been able to just slowly muddle through this problem. To say, like, I wouldn't have known any of these steps to go ahead until you actually have the problem in front of you to actually start going through. Now, after all this, I would say there's 1.9 gigabyte of photographs, or perhaps, I don't know what they're like. I don't know the you just break your teeth off thinking about all this sort of stuff. So that's probably 0.1. So it's 1% done after a couple of minutes. And so here, I'd probably say, not for all this time, there's 9% gone through that. And hopefully that's the worst of the worst. There's a whole series of other files which look like, hopefully I've hit the worst of these across. And, a fair swag of that can be condensed into really, really nothingness. So you can imagine a 10 megabyte, this is amazing technology. People have a camera which can take a 10 megapixel picture. Now, there's sort of the lack of understanding that it has to be compressed. Thank goodness. So those pictures are there. So if so-and-so, they see a particular picture they want, they can see it and say, look, I want a greater version of it. It's the, the ideal thing is to have LabVIEW intrusively manage all of this stuff when it's up and running. So that's the overall view. It's so what's the overall view? I think it is trying to work it out. What's an amazing thing here is that in this situation, I think overall my general skill is going to places which actually do need it. I think my skill was really highly needed in school, but it's just not need, and you've got to match skill, need, and people have to want to be cured There's these hopeless things where people have alcoholism, and they want to be cured, they want to do the right thing, but they can't do it, and they make up these stories to why it has to happen. And I think that's very much the education system, in that they want a skilled person to do it, they want the kids to be educated, but there's this sort of pathology, sort of mind worms got in, and you're not going to, if you get someone between someone and their drink without full preparation and everything there, you're just going to be slammed to do it because they desperately want to drink. So it's sort of like an addiction there. The corruption is running the show, for sure. And so what happens is that the pure skill and pure need come together, and we have a solution slowly percolating along. So that's I think it's the moral of the story, and I've just got to really finish this, do the research paper, and also have transition plan for it. So this is to set myself up to do that, the next set of tests, and those tests actually are not just into space, they actually do lead somewhere to some sort of conclusion along the place. So let's keep on pushing it as we go along here.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.